Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. That's kind of some happy bumper music, Brian. Kind of like coming back to that little get your foot just a tapping a little bit when you're standing out by the grill. But you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob and I are going to do something now that it takes a real man to do, and that is to admit your failures and how we might have learned from them. Because the more and more we talk to people, we don't need real sophisticated grilling advice on the Grilling Guys. Sometimes we get too far down the road and we forget that most of the people that listen to the show are maybe just need a little more fundamental help than they do on the
Sometimes it's a little too much inside baseball here.
Right, exactly.
So we apologize for that.
We want to take a step back and talk about maybe some early failures that we have had that maybe you've experienced too, and how to turn a negative into a positive. Make some lemonade, right? So what you thinking about?
Yeah, who hasn't been at the grill and maybe their first gas grill, especially I think of, and had some of their favorite friends over, and they're putting the burgers or the steaks or the brats on, and they go back outside to check on everything, and the grill is cold. You ran out of propane. That's a big one, and that one's bitten me a couple times. My first really nice gas grill was a Phoenix, and that happened to me. There were like three couples that were coming over, and I was so proud of my new grill because I sold them at my store, so I was happy to show these guys. But I didn't check my gas tank. And back then, I only had one tank. I didn't know that being a two-tanker was a good idea. And by golly, I did go into town and find another tank, but it totally ruined the buzz.
Yeah, and the thing is that shop around for that propane. I don't have where I'm living. I don't have it hardwired anymore. And that propane, I went to one store. It was $16.99 for a tank. I went around the corner to the other one, drove by that one, but I saw it. I'm like, oh, this one's going to be a little easier. It was $21.99 for the same tank. $5 swing.
Isn't that crazy?
In one street.
And they just swapped the tank out now, too. You don't have to stand there and get it filled like you used to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the first time I cooked ribs, we were newlyweds. We had just built our house out in Lowell, and my brother gave me his old gas grill, and I kind of scoffed at it. Because I was a purist, and I thought, man, gas, that's there's something wrong with that. So I actually started using it because we already had like three kids at that time, and I found that it was kind of convenient to get out and bang out a quick meal. So I used it a couple times, and this thing was 5 years old. It was a cheapie. It was like an old Charbroil or something. You know, it was 20-some years ago, Fiesta or something. And so I got kind of where I was used to it. I was like addicted to it. I wasn't even using my Weber anymore, my charcoal. So I thought, all right, I'm going to get brave. I got a handle on this thing. I'm going to do some ribs.
On a gas grill?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get out like an absolute mutton head, and I get this nice big two racks of ribs, and I throw them across my hot grates, and I shut the lid, and went in the house or did something else and came back out about a half hour later to find they were absolutely black. So I slowed down the fire. I flipped them over to the meat side. I don't even know if I seasoned them, honestly. Right. I can't tell you what I did. And then did the same thing to that side.
Oh,
and
wasn't good enough to burn one side.
No,
you had to burn both sides.
No, and I just kept cooking them until I thought they were tender enough to eat. And unfortunately, we had people over at that time, too.
Sure.
Another lesson, don't practice.
There you are. Practice before you perform.
Don't practice on your guests unless you don't want them to come back. And I'm pretty sure they never did. Because you couldn't even hardly cut between the rib sections with a knife. They were like...
So charred and dry.
It was like plastic.
Right.
And you talk about ruining meat. And we were, you know, kind of newlyweds. We didn't have, like... all kinds of money to waste. So I had two nice racks of ribs that basically were garbage.
Right.
And I don't know what we ate, but we sure didn't eat those ribs because people were trying to be gracious and, oh, there's good flavor. And they're like breaking their caps off
their
teeth.
Come here. Yeah. Oop, drop that one. Sorry.
So I
dog wouldn't even eat them though.
So I went to school on how to, and I don't even think really it was the internet was big, and that was about 90. I don't even think the internet was big yet.
I was just
so
to do your research at that time.
Yeah, to do your research, you had to go buy a book. So I bought the Weber cookbook and found out that there were a lot of things that I didn't know about grilling.
Right. Well, and so the moral of that story is cook them slow, cook them on indirect heat rather than direct heat, and use a thermometer. I mean, you'll hear us say that over and over, is check the temperature of what it is you're cooking, the internal temperature with a quick read thermometer. We like ThermoPens. You can find those on the Grilling Guys website.
But, you know, on ribs, you don't check the temperature.
Well.
So how are you going to check the temperature?
Well, you know, the thicker part of the meat, right?
There's not enough there to check, I mean, in my opinion. So I always just, I look at the pull away on the bone. And see when I get like a quarter to a half inch, a bone sticking out from the end of the rib, and then I'll know they're getting close. But it's pretty hard, hard to get a temperature reading on ribs. Everything else, I agree absolutely with you on. Butts especially.
Right. So my buddy Bob was in the grilling business and selling grills and smokers for quite a while, and had some factory demos that he had used, and one of them was a pellet grill. And the pellet grill, I had not had any experience on, but Bob got a new demo in. So he's like, "Hey, Jop, I'll give you this grill." And I'm like, "Well, that's really nice, Bob. I appreciate that. I'll play with it, learn to work with it." And
it's practice.
Yeah, if you don't know what a pellet grill is, it's got a hopper on one end of it and a little auger.
Looks like an offset smoker.
Right, that augers these little pellets into a flame box, and that creates the heat inside the grill body. Okay, so it's on the left end if you're looking at it, whatever. There's a little dial that sends the auger more chips or less chips, kind of like a thermostat on it. Well, every once in a while, you got to clean this thing out. And so mine gets dirty after a big cook of butts, and there's grease in there and stuff, so I want to tear it apart and clean it. And that's another tip. Is that, you know what, just don't think your grill is going to clean itself. You got to get in there and get ugly and dirty at least a couple times a year, depending on how often you're using the thing.
It is dirty, too.
Because, and it'll be black, it'll be nasty, wear the gloves, wear something that you don't care if you ruin it.
And I'll butt in just for a second. What my trick is for that is I buy those cheap $5 Chinese rawhide gloves.
Yeah.
And I get those all black, and then I just chuck them.
Right, exactly. Because it's nasty in there, but the point is I took it apart to clean it all, and when I put it back together, I didn't read the instructions. I didn't get instructions. It was a used grill. I got it from Bob. I thought, hey, I remembered how to put this thing back together. There's only four or five parts in there. But where the chips dropped into the firebox, there was a little shield. And I put the shield in upside down
backwards.
When I rebuilt it backwards. Yep. So what happened is the next time I used the grill, the fire started, but as the chips came in, they piled up.
Yeah, the pellets were backing up in the auger.
In the auger. So the fire went back through the auger and up into the hopper. And, of course, I'm thinking I'm smoking, right? So I came home at noon for lunch, fired the thing up, because I'm going to have smoked food tonight for dinner, right? And the cool thing about a pellet grill is it's a set-it-and-forget-it thing. It's automatic. It augers them through. I come wheeling in the driveway at like 5:30 at night after work. That hopper is just smoking. I mean, it's like a chimney stack that's blowing out of there. And I get up there, and it's so hot I can't touch it. But then, so I go get the cheap leather gloves. I open up the hopper. Whoo! Up comes a fire because now it's got oxygen, right? The lid was on it before. So now it's got oxygen. It's like, well, what the hell am I going to do? So the only thing I figure I can do is I shut the lid again, but it's still smoking. So then I went over and got a thing of water, and I started pouring the water on it a little bit. It took me about a half hour to get that thing pouring out because I didn't want to pour water in an electric mechanism, right? So I just had to ease it in there and scoop them out. But what a stinking mess. So my failure is make sure that you put your equipment, when you take it apart to clean it, note some things.
Well, you had a couple mistakes there. Number one, you were going to set it and forget it. And right. With a pellet grill, I never recommend leaving it unattended. You should be home when you use it because it's an electrical appliance. It's mechanical. It's got all those things going on with it. So it's not like a charcoal smoker.
Maybe don't go on. Right, yeah.
You know? People do this all the time. I mean, it happens, especially with that Louisiana smoker.
Yeah. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some of the successes that we've had and give you a few tips and techniques to make your next barbecue in your backyard a envious place to be in your neighborhood. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.